Okay, very good. So we are reconvened. The 12th floor of the state capitol. I'm Julie Fedorchak, chair of the Public Service Commission. We have a work session or a public informal hearing on two cases, case number PU-22-322 and PU-22-367. And since we have separate recordings, I think we'll go through and reintroduce everybody again for this recording. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Christman?
I do not, thank you.
Okay, and Commissioner Haugenhofer, any opening comments on these?
I do not.
Okay, so the three of us are participating. We'll go around the room and introduce everybody else.
Adam Renfield, staff.
Victor Shook with staff.
Carrie Stephenson, Associate General Counsel, Otterdale Power Company.
Svetlana Fergi, Otterdale Power Company, Pricing Analyst.
Dave Prazik, Otterdale Power.
Chris Waltz, Otterdale Power, Manager of our Sales and Implementation Team.
Jesse Tomford, Otterdale Power, Senior Industrial Services Engineer.
Rob Frank, staff.
Brian Johnson, PSC staff.
Did you want to blow it up?
Sure. Well, actually, no, we don't. Are you guys going to participate, any of you, in this one? No? All right. Well, we might as well. We've got everybody else in the room, so Sherry knows. Sorry.
Chris Hansen, staff.
Stuart Tomerdahl, Otterdale Power.
Al Kakritz, Otterdale Power.
Jeff Hoff, Otterdale Power Company.
Paula Foster, Otterdale Power.
Okay, very good. So I think that it's appropriate now that we'll just turn it over to whoever's running the show.
To me for now.
All right, yeah. Very good.
Yeah, thank you very much. Just a couple of quick comments before we dive in.
Clarification, who's speaking?
This is Dave Prazik from Otterdale Power.
Thanks, Dave.
You're welcome. Thank you. The brief comments I was going to make was that it's exciting to be again in front of you at this time, not for an approval for a tariff, but asking for approval for a couple customers that will be on this tariff. And as for pricing and rate designers, when you walk through and create something, where you're kind of excited to see it happening. So before us, we're having twins, actually, in this case. So we've got two customers that will be proposed to be on this tariff. So we're excited to talk about with you for this these two customers. Anyhow, so the first one that we're going to talk about is the PU-22-322. And you're going to find that both of these presentations, these public presentations, are designed very similarly because we do have similar type customers involved, but there are certainly some differences. So you'll see some similar framework when we go through again. So
okay. Let's say, Dave, just yes. For my colleagues' benefit and staff, Stuart and I talked at the end of the last and decided that it would make most sense to do as I think you're planning, cover both the public. Both of the projects, their public information first, and then if we need to go into a closed session, we'll do so and do it for both of the projects so that we don't have to go in and out of closed session twice. That's all right?
That's perfect.
Okay.
Thank you. May I proceed?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, the first thing on our agenda is similar to what you just had mentioned, Chair, is to go through the confidentiality a little bit. We're also going to talk about the kind of a review of the request. We'll dive into the economic development rate review and compliance as our third item, and then we'll get into an overview of the electric service agreement. So you can advance, Matt, past the agenda. I will not read the entire confidential trade secret status slide, but it is rather important. We outlined this in our case that we had filed with you. The reasons that they're considered confidential, and for the most part, very sensitive data from the utility as well as the customer. And so I'll just leave it at that. Okay. So the next slide, please, Matt. So the title of this slide is The Rate Provides Growth Opportunity, and this is pretty exciting for us. Again, I mentioned a little bit ago that we'd received approval of this rate a couple years ago, and we're excited to have a customer in the Castleton area who is very interested in it. And there's some project highlights here that list some of the different things that are about this customer. And I think what I'd like to do is, you know, if I could branch off and allow our sales folks just to give a little bit a flavor of the customer that's here. And if you'd be willing to do that, Chris, that'd be great.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. So some of the project highlights that we have here and what we'd like to talk about is, you know, these opportunities or this customer is a significantly sized customer for us at Otter Tail. And you can see that highlighted here with the estimated loads. It's also a significant economic development project for the state of North Dakota. This information provided by the customer, but you know they're looking at a capital expenditure of $400 million, likely north of that with where things are at. Significant job creation on the FTEs that they're looking at, not to mention the amount of construction workers, et cetera. You can see some statistics on the soybeans crushed, and then also, you know, we do have some statistics on, you know, their output or their oil output for the facility as well. Looking at their land, and then some you know, indirect benefits as well. So any questions on that information?
What's the timeline for them?
Yeah, and good question. That's the last bullet point there, looking to be operational in 2024. I'm misstating that too.
So are they, when are they going to start construction?
They have started.
Already. Okay. Yes. Was this one recently ground broke publicly?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
I recall this now.
Yep.
Okay.
And what's the distance to your closest customer?
Distance from this project to our closest customer, adjacent, I would call it. We have customers on all sides that we serve right there.
And then, I know this case is about the economic development rate, but is this in your service territory, or does this also require another procedure to get this into your service territory?
Yeah, another great question. In this situation with this customer, we do have a commission-approved service territory agreement with the distribution cooperative.
Okay.
So I should say specifically, this is in Otter Tail service territory, yes.
Okay. All right.
Next slide. So our summary of a request is, you know, we've reached an agreement with the customer to locate facilities here, and we're looking to get the electric service agreement approved and agreed to take service. So that's our request. Next slide. This question was already just addressed, but as Chris had mentioned, there is an agreement, service agreement, area agreement. We do have some specific details of this in the trade secret section. Okay, next slide. So if you recall on our economic development rate rider, the idea of this rider, we have certain eligibility criteria to entice and acquire the customer, and we do that by comparing our standard rates to specific costing data. And if there is a differential between our standard rates and our updated costs, there's a differential, positive differential. At that point, we would then take that amount and allocate a discount to the customer and retain benefits for the rest of our customers. And this is more outlined in our economic development rate rider. We'll get into a little bit about that a little later. But the idea is we'd have eligibility criteria for sizing, how many years that we'd have a contract, and so on. So just wanted to let you know that we are following our rider to the T. Any questions? Okay. Next slide. And again, our proposed rate complies with our rate schedule. So the customers accepted a percent discount that we have offered. And again, we've retained an amount for net benefits for our own customer. And that's an important part of this whole process here, because if we didn't see any differential, we wouldn't move forward. When we see differential, we consider both the customer itself and our remaining customers. And that's a core piece to what we do when we're talking with a customer. And again, these proposed discounts are based on the incremental cost to serve. So these are new costs. These are costs that we didn't expect nor forecast until they had approached us or we approached them mutually to investigate that. Just a couple points on the benefits that will accrue to customers. Near term, I mean, most of you are familiar with our rider updates. What happens now is if we add a new customer, these are new billings, revenues, billing determinants that are new, and they will now be collected, and it diminishes the time frame to collect those costs for other customers. So those are benefits that are realized immediately. Some longer-term benefits, again, similar. Future rate cases, system costs are spread over a greater amount and can postpone the need for future increases and maybe result in smaller increases. And one of the points in this particular, in some of these cases, is that we have existing infrastructure that is there and it's waiting for someone to come in. Mm-hmm. And those costs are being covered by current customers. As those new customers come in, we're now covering those costs. So that's just kind of a general idea of how that works. Okay.
So you can push this off if it needs to go to a different time, either later in the public meeting or in the closed session.
Right.
But with MISO changing to a seasonal construct and Otter Tail being more like of a winter peaking facility, I'm a little concerned about what that means for you guys just generally, so we need to better understand that. But when you bring on new big load like this, how do you factor in that new seasonal construct and when they need power, when they can get kicked off and not, et cetera?
Sure, sure.
Can you talk about that now, or would it be better to wait?
There's a person on my left that might be able to provide a little bit on that, and I could add some too, and we might get into that a little bit later.
Okay.
As well. The
Fine.
Person on my far left, which would be my attorney.
If you want to wait till later, if that would make more sense,
yeah,
go for
it.
Go ahead.
Do it later,
you need
I
to
think.
Get a mic, though, Carrie.
No, I think we could talk about it generally now.
Sure.
I know, we're paying very close attention to what MISO has done recently with the seasonal construct, and in particular the planning margins, the
mm-hmm.
reserves on those. And it is, I think, too early to tell exactly how that will bear out. You know, those numbers aren't yet final. I think there's a process yet. At the end of the year, we'll know more. And also with accreditation standards, too, for capacity, I think there's some issues there that are being answered. So our planning staff is paying close attention to that. Now, I think Dave can speak a little bit more to how that interrelates to the way they forecast and develop these rates. It is based on a forecast, a market forecast. And I think it would be premature to say if there's what kind of impact there would be for that seasonal construct change on that forecasted market. The forecasting we use in our RRP is a little bit different than just a straight-up market forecast, so they interrelate, but they're not the same. So maybe you can address how you factor that in.
Can you generally speak to whether this type of an arrangement creates additional capacity concerns or alleviates them, or if it's neutral?
I think we're still studying that. I don't have any new information on it. But what I can tell you is as soon as this came out in August, we immediately contacted our costing, marginal costing consultant, and made them aware of that. And they, too, are studying the potential impacts of that. So we're in that spot.
Yeah, I guess I just need to know, like, the 10 megawatts in the winter that this company or customer needs is not going to put you guys in a position where you need to buy more capacity. Because that would, you know, because you have to each season account for this. And so I don't know how this customer is set up, but... You know, how does that, that's what I want to try to understand.
No, and that's a very reasonable question. That's why we contacted our consultant right away on that particular issue. Because as you know, and Carrie had just mentioned, we're using forecasted costs. And our study was updated this year, but for this change with the MISO seasonal construct. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at that. I mean, right off the bat, I too am suspect because I want to not assume that, you know, we have different allocations into different seasons. We can't just simply allocate, you know, based on old assumptions. We have to look at new assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
But we're definitely looking into that piece.
Okay. And just to make sure, you're talking about costs, and I'm worried more about capacity.
And when I say costs, it's the purchasing of, you know, of, you know, capacity and or energy. That's related in our marginal cost study.
Got it.
Not just infrastructure.
Yeah.
You can use that term.
Okay. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to say that Othertail has enough of its own generation to support this customer, and it's not a controlled rate, so this customer will not be curtailed. This is only a percent discount to the base rate, and they can operate as they were because they're not subject to control.
Okay, that's kind of what I needed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions on this slide? Okay, Matt? Slide 9. So, when
one more thing, sorry,
sure.
And that's in all seasons.
Correct.
Okay, got it.
So, in our electric service agreements, you know, we look at each situation, and each situation in terms of where the customer is considering locating, how far it is from resources, what infrastructure is available, and those sorts of things. And depending upon a number of those factors, we will certainly follow our existing general rules and regs on customer protections. But then there are some specific ESA terms that were negotiated between Othertail and the customer to make sure that there are protections. And we may be able to talk a little bit about some general things. There could be a process of money up front, you know, prepayments for equipment, those sorts of things. That's something that our sales folks here, Chris and Jesse, if you have a moment, maybe just to talk a little bit about generally what those types of protections, what they might be.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave. I can sure do that. So we have a pre-approved electric service agreement from the commission that we use and operate in the field for our customers. And that allows us some degree of flexibility, as Dave alluded to. We can and do in certain situations collect some monies up front. We also have the ability to set up essentially monthly minimum revenue guarantees as part of those contracts as well. And then the kind of the blanket or overarching purpose of those agreements or the intent is to ensure that, one, our infrastructure costs to serve the load are covered under that agreement, meaning that if something happens and the load doesn't materialize, that they are responsible for those costs and not other customers or Otter Tail. And then it also provides the protections and is set up in a structure so that the revenues over a period of time cover those infrastructure costs.
Okay. Next slide, Matt. So just a recap of our ESA and rate request. You know, we're very proud to attract this load to North Dakota. And if we need further explanation how that was done, our sales folks can get into that too. It adds to local and state economies. And, of course, our customers will benefit, as we described a little bit before. So our request, again, is to for the commission to approve the proposed discount offered to and agreed to by the customer and the electric service agreement between Otter Tail and the customer. That wraps up our summary of our first customer on 22322.
Very good. Randy?
This isn't so specific in a way to this case, but in here you mentioned this is adjacent to an existing substation that has plenty of capacity for this 10-megawatt load, right? Well, in the previous case, you had a substation that was adjacent to that project that had capacity for a big addition. How do I explain to people that one of two opposing bad things isn't going to happen here? Either that these really don't have enough capacity, and along the way you're going to have to make big additions that aren't forecast in here in order to handle this well, or how much investment do you have around the state that is way larger than what was needed until these projects showed up out of thin air, and we've been allowing you to recover the costs of that stuff. So was it really used and useful until these projects showed up? But where's the line on how much overbuild we have out there? Because things keep showing up, and there's plenty of capacity.
Sure. Well, we have some engineering folks here that can talk about that a little bit. Yeah, there's a punt. But real quickly, it's a great question, because sometimes we have customers that are there and sometimes they go. And there's a point it might not be worthwhile to remove and utilize in another area of the company. But we do have engineering staff here, so mm-hmm. Jesse and Chris, whatever.
Yeah, maybe I'll start and Jesse, you can take over if I miss any of the details, but it's an excellent question. And maybe I'll start off by saying, Otter Tail Power doesn't overbuild our system. And if you look across, our footprint, that is the case. We do, whether we plan for a particular load or the service to a community, those load sizes really go hand in hand. And I think what occurred in these situations, and what is best practices in the industry, I'll maybe start that capacities, particularly transformer capacities, sometimes are not driven by load. Sometimes they're driven by generation, and so that did and does occur out there. And so we do have an opportunity in maybe the other situation that you're referring to, Commissioner, is that was the opportunity in that situation, is that capacity needed to be there for generation infrastructure, and by design, we had some ancillary services as part of that could be used and useful. In typical sizing of these types of loads, the electric industry is lumpy. You can't generally order transformers and design that is 10 megawatts to serve 10 megawatts. You generally are sizing equipment or need to order equipment that's of certain standards that we have and that is kind of universal and that we can use in other areas. And so we do that as best industry standards. So, you know, in the this situation, actually it was largely driven by, you know, load estimates that were given to us from a previous customer. And we did allocate those costs to that customer in that situation as well. So,
and then it turned out they didn't use as much as they had anticipated?
Correct. Yep. We had a situation where once they were online, the load estimates weren't realized. And so that was a situation where again, much like these and general practice for Otter Tail is that we do have protections in place that if that doesn't occur, we're ensuring that we're getting recovery from that particular customer as opposed to other customers.
Yeah. Thank you.
We hold them to what they say they're going to have for a load, right? I mean, that's how we build the construct in the ESA. So if they tell us they're going to have 30 megawatts, we build the infrastructure for it. That's the price in the ESA that we had to invest. If they aren't meeting that minimum revenue guarantee, then they end up paying over and above to cover the cost of that infrastructure. And that happens to be the case that you're referring to in this one here. So it is, you know, I was in transmission planning before, so if the investments are lumpy, like we call them hockey stick graphs, because, you know, you're going along pretty good for quite a while, and then all of a sudden it's a big investment to get to the next tier. So,
yeah. And I mean, I understand that, you know, you can't size things where it's even one more house is going to throw you off. You plan for growth.
Yep.
But when 10 megawatt loads are just available out there without adding anything, it seems odd. But I appreciate your explanation.
This is actually not the norm. It's usually the opposite. Right. Most of the customers site at the end of our system where we don't have adequate. So this is kind of a break where we don't have to make major investments. So it's kind of nice that we have two projects that's the case. So.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions on this 22322? Victor, do you want to make any comments on this one?
I don't, so Adam wrote up the memo on me, so I'll let him.
Do you want to do them together, Adam, or do you want to speak to this one specifically?
Yeah, well, we can do them together.
Unless you have specific comments on this one you want to talk about?
None at this moment.
Okay, we'll wait till the end. All right, then, Sherry, are you good to move on to the next case?
Yes, I am.
All right. Dave, feel free to
Okay.
pick up the next one.
One second.
Oh, yeah, we got to get the slides on there.